Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with you once again by the gracious will of the Lord. And it is my pleasure to look to the Word of God with you this Lord's Day morning. We are considering issues today which deal with spiritual battle from Ephesians chapter 6. Please turn there in your Bibles as you can, dear friends. We'll soon begin reading verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry, Mission East Africa, Uganda, at www.missionafricajk.simplesite.com. God is a great and faithful God, worthy in all of His being. All power and glory is His and His alone. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God because of Jesus Christ, His dear Son, the Savior of the world. Friends, hear now the Word of God in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to His word. Friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for these precious, life-giving verses, which are spirit and life. And we give you praise and thanks that we have these precious, living, spiritual words, that we may receive them, that we may hear them, that we may learn from them, that we may understand you, the great and true only God, that through Jesus Christ, your Son, we come to know you and are saved from our sins, that by the Spirit of the living God, the truth of Christ is made knowable to us. And so we ask that you would have your glory once again in this time, in this presentation of Christ crucified, in the gospel proclamation, in the teaching and preaching of the living Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your great purposes in sending forth truth to us today. We give you praise. Worthy and great and holy are you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, last Lord's Day, in connection with these verses, we looked at truths about the reality of miracles. And we concluded that the Bible miracles are true miracles, but that all other miracles subsequent to the times in which the canon, the Word of God, was being compiled, must be carefully tested. We must use great discernment. There are many false prophets in the world, and there are many false claims in the world. There are, simply put, false miracles, those things that are put forth to be miraculous, which indeed are not miracles. And so, to alleviate confusion and to help us in our ability to discern the true from the false, we are continuing to talk about the miracle of casting out devils today. And we must remember a key principle, a precept from the Word of God, indeed an instruction from the Word of God. It's found in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And we must simply and quickly once again define a miracle today. It is an act of God, an extraordinary act of God, which transcends the ordinary powers of nature. It is above and beyond the natural. It is truly a supernatural act of God. And a miracle is something that only God can perform. Men do not perform miracles. It is God who truly performs miracles. We've been looking at this question for some weeks now. How do we wrestle against principalities and powers, against evil, the rulers of the darkness of this age? And we wrestle against evil, the evil spirits, by the Word of God and prayer. This is the normative means, and this is really the idea the apostle is communicating, the truth he is communicating in these verses. So we wrestle by the Word of God and prayer, primarily by the Word of God and prayer, not by the performing of miracles, and certainly not primarily by the performing of miracles. We must remember that casting out of devils in the Bible is a true miracle. Sometimes that is called exorcism in our time, but we must remember too, as one man put it well, that when everything is considered a miracle, nothing is a miracle. There are various views of what exorcism is and how it is to be done, and we're going to consider some of those views today in light of the question, do we cast out devils today in a miraculous way? Are all Christians, ordinary Christians, commanded, is it required of us that we cast out devils today? Now, let me give you a bit of background for our teaching, and then we'll get further into it. In Uganda today, there is a great focus on the supernatural, the miraculous, and particularly in casting out devils. And it has been communicated to me quite a few times that casting out devils is required of all true Christians, and that it is an activity that true Christians should engage in regularly because it is required of them. Let me tell you clearly at this point that I don't believe that that is what the Bible teaches at all. I believe that casting out devils is a true miracle, an extraordinary transcending work that God fulfills, and that we do not live in the age in which miracles are normally to be carried out. We're going to see in these different views different thoughts about exorcism, but let me share with you now my personal view as a help as we get into the comparison of these views, and that is, it seems clear to me from Scripture that casting out devils is a true biblical miracle. And as we have stated in the last few weeks, we do not live in a time when miracles are normally performed, because the miracles are given at specific times in the church's history and for very specific purposes. And so we must consider, as we look at this issue of exorcism, basic questions. Is this casting out of devils, or again, an exorcism, which simply means, in its really general sense, a freeing from demons? Simply, exorcism means freeing from demons. Various people view how this is to be done. But is exorcism a miraculous work, or is it a non-miraculous work? That is, simply an endowment or empowerment, an ability that God gives to Christians. And then we must ask the question, if we believe that an exorcism is to be performed, is it a miracle to be performed by some Christians or all Christians? And again, there are many views about these questions. It helps us to know that demon possession does not necessarily mean an indwelling by demons, but it really means that there is an influence, either greater or lesser, that demons have upon a person. Sometimes the distinction is made between possession or indwelling by demons and oppression or simply the more exterior influence of demons. But I think it's helpful as we consider these issues to settle on the definition that possession really simply means influence to a greater or lesser degree by the demonic. And at this point, we must ask another question that's helpful, because there are many people alive today on the planet who simply do not believe in the existence of demons. Are there demons today? Once again, we have various views of this. We could receive the views of very credible teachers and expositors, and some of them would say, no, demon activity is not present today. It was limited to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the days of his incarnation. Others would say, there certainly is demonic activity today. Demons are indeed active today. A similar question, is there possession today if demons are present today? Again, some would say yes, and some would say no, since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we may better understand the following teaching, I believe, and I'm working from the belief that casting out demons is a miracle. That is, it is this transcendent work of God, as I believe speaking in tongues, as we find in 1 Corinthians 14, is. I believe the scripture is clear in 1 Corinthians 14 that not all perform miracles. And so we're really asking these questions, looking at these views to arrive at this question, a bigger question perhaps, is there to be casting out of demons today? And so we can answer that in two ways. If we believe that casting out demons is a miraculous work of God, then no, we do not cast out demons today, because to do so would be to perform a miracle, but miracles are not normative today. And simply, that's my view, my friends. But if we believe that casting out devils is not a miracle, but simply an enablement, an endowment, then possibly we could believe that there is casting out of devils today. And so, are there normally miracles performed today, or should we normally perform miracles today? No, because miracles are relegated to the time of the apostles and the prophets. And now, I want to share with you a rather lengthy quote by a great American theologian, Jonathan Edwards, our greatest theologian. He lived in the 1700s, and he has really helpful thoughts about this question of, is immediate and open revelation occurring today? In other words, are miracles occurring today? He also deals with the issue of prophets. Are prophets speaking by immediate revelation, open revelation today? And so let me preface his thoughts with a little definition again for you, and that is that immediate or open revelation, as Edwards uses these terms, refers to the immediate, that is, not working through an intermediary or a mediator, the immediate work of God, as we see biblically, he worked in and through the prophets and in working miracles. The opposite of immediate open revelation is mediate revelation, in which God works immediately. At one time, he worked immediately as The word of God was given to the prophets. Now that the canon is complete, God reaches us, works mediately through the word of God to communicate with us. That's an example. And so here's his thoughts, Jonathan Edwards' thoughts, about the cessation of immediate open revelation. We need not wonder at all that God should so often and continually reveal himself by prophets and miracles and by external signs and tokens of his presence and will to the Israelite nation. He's referring to the Old Testament here. We need not wonder that now we should see nothing of this nature, no immediate open revelation or communications anymore than if there was no God. For this way of revealing himself, as God used to do to that nation, is not at all suitable to the present state of the church. The church was then confined to one particular nation, who God chose on purpose to make them the receptacle of his revelation and the conveyor of it to the rest of the world. And I can think of no other way that it could be done with any tolerable convenience but by a chosen, peculiar nation who should alone be God's people and have the true religion among them. Therefore, it was highly convenient and necessary that there should be such a manner of communication with such a nation. It was also necessary in the first transition of this revelation from the Jews to the world, as it was in the apostles' times, that the world receiving this revelation from them might see God still revealing himself and so might receive it from God in the same manner as they received it. And upon many other accounts, it was necessary that inspiration and miracles should be continued while divine revelation was in transition from the Jews to the world. It was necessary for the establishing of the truth of the gospel, which was now revealed and brought out from under its tight shadows and dark prophecies. It was necessary for the introducing of this new, most perfect, and everlasting dispensation, and it was necessary till the completing of the canon of Scripture. But that God should now, from time to time, reveal himself after that manner to his church is no way necessary, nor at all suitable to the gospel state of the church, which is not any particular enclosure, but is dispersed through the whole world. The church is made up of the true worshipers of God throughout the world, without any walls or dividing bounds. How is it practicable that God should treat with the church now in such a way as he did with that peculiar nation? Besides, if it were practicable, it would be very impertinent, for what need is there of new revelations to the end of the world? Is it not better that God should give the world a book, which should be the summary of his will, to which all nations in all ages may resort to know the mind of God? It would be impertinent because that extraordinary and miraculous way was made use of once only for the introducing the more perfect way in which the universal church of all nations was forever to be instructed. God now communicates himself to his church in a much more glorious way than that by miracles. It is by the communication of his spirit of holiness to the hearts of his people, and his teaching and spiritually instructing us out of the world. This is infinitely a more excellent way, as the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. This is the end of the other way. It is excellent in itself, but inspiration and miracles are good for nothing without it, as the Apostle plainly tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. Tells us that prophecy and miracles are nothing without charity, like the sounding brass or the shadow without the substance. And seeing the substance is come, what need the shadow be continued? Seeing the end is come, it would be impertinent still to continue the means. The church now enjoys that glory in comparison with which all the glory of prophecy and of miracles, even those of that extraordinary prophet Moses, is no glory at all. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Edwards' point in this lengthy quote is that God now works mediately at past times, the old dispensations. He worked immediately at times in giving the canon, the Word of God, and in miracles. He communicated in this way, but now there is no need for this communication because the glory of the new covenant, a greater glory, is in the church because the Spirit of Christ is in the church, in the universal church around the world, and because the glory of Christ is found and communicated to us by the working of His Spirit in the holy book of God, the Holy Bible. Praise the Lord. That is of great importance to us. We must really consider Edwards' point, my friends, as we deal with this issue of, are miracles existent today? And more specifically yet, are we to cast out devils miraculously today? Now, in fairness, we must consider the thoughts of others who view this matter quite differently. And at this point, I want to share the thoughts of a charismatic pastor, an avowed faith healer, and this is what he writes. He is a modern minister. Every week in our church in Scarborough, a suburb of Toronto, Ontario, many come for release and the infilling of the Spirit. It is almost impossible to catalog the different cases, nor do we try. We process those who come. Arthritis, heart troubles, lung troubles, throat troubles, jealousy, anger, hatred, self-pity, murder, suicide, smoking, drinking, unlawful sex, and drugs. People with such problems come in a steady stream to us, and God, through our prayers, brings permanent deliverance to most of them. Immediately after their manifest deliverance, we ask them if they would like the Holy Spirit to come in and fill all the areas previously occupied by alien spirits. They agree, whether they understand much or not, for they are hungry, and in many cases they start to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit comes in, much to their astonishment. What a change on their faces. And so this charismatic faith healer obviously believes and communicates in his quote that often in his ministry, demons, alien spirits who occupy the people are cast out, released from them, and so those demonic spirits bring about this long list of problems that I just read. Arthritis to drinking, smoking, anger and jealousy, etc., etc. Let me also mention views of a prophet, a self-avowed prophet, who basically says that all bad dreams are the result of demonic activity. We must cast out the demons. We must free ourselves of their influence before sleeping so that we don't have bad dreams. And that if a Christian has any semblance of a bad dream, that this is really the result of demonic activity. And so there's quite a wide range of views in this issue. But I think it's interesting and it's helpful because we must consider some of these views, and we must especially seek God in the Word of God that we may know truth about this issue. Now, at this point, I want to share with you the thoughts of other Christian writers, and let me simply mention two of them. One's name is John Piper. It's quite possible that you hear the preaching and teaching ministry of John Piper on ABC Radio. And John Piper helps us to understand that he believes that the normative way of dealing with evil is the ministry of the word and living sacrificial lives and in prayer. But he does believe, and he quotes John Calvin, that he says also believes as he does, that occasionally it is necessary to conduct an exorcism, that is to cast out devils. Now, Piper doesn't go into detail about how we are to perform an exorcism. He simply says that he believes, as John Calvin does, that it is perhaps necessary at times to cast out demons. He writes about this, that it seems that Calvin accepted that there is an authority over demons that was not restricted to the apostles alone, but was an important and recognized ministry passed on down through the church. But since he affirms that kind of demon can only be cast out by prayers and fasting, the meaning is that where Satan fixes deep roots and has ruled by a long possession, or where he attacks with unbridled fury, victory is hard and difficult, and we must fight it with all our strength. Piper does note that normally truth defeats the demons who hold to lies, and that, again, the word and prayer are the primary means by which one overcomes evil, that is, wrestles with the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Now, let me share, lastly, this morning, the views of John MacArthur with you. He's also a modern times Bible teacher in California. He's known as an expositor, and Piper simply believes, and I must share with you, too, that I agree with Piper's interpretation of this issue, that there are not to be exorcisms today. He, of course, believes that Satan exists. Then he believes that in this issue of casting out demons, that there is a great deception of Satan. If something is not of Christ, of whom is it? Satan. Does Satan cast out Satan? No. Would Satan like you to believe that he casts out demons? Sure. Satan would like to have a clairvoyant or a medium believe that he can actually do this. Satan deceives. And what he does is phony exorcisms. And that way he extends his power. He believes that exorcisms are not to be performed today because they are miraculous works of God in the Bible, which leads us to believe and reason and see that therefore exorcisms today would also be a truly miraculous work. And since there are no miracles normally today, there would be no exorcisms today. MacArthur believes that conversion, that is, when a person is born again, frees believers from demonic influences. He believes that there are no demons in believers, there's no indwelling of demons in believers, and that Satan's power is broken by Christ for those who are born again, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. He believes that Old Testament exorcisms were done by prayer. And he believes that today, when exorcisms are performed, that these are not true miracles, that there really isn't an exorcism happening, that there really isn't a casting out of devils, though this is believed. He believes that Christ's powerful and authoritative truth to be preached. And so we overcome by faith and repentance. Holiness of life prevents demonic influences. He believes that we have no command for all believers to cast out demons. Our time is gone this morning, but let me simply end this sermon at this point by saying once again, by way of summary, that I believe with this last view, and I encourage you to carefully, prayerfully consider these views as you consider this issue of, are miracles happening today? And are we to cast out devils today by miraculous power? Or is exorcism simply to be done an endowment, not a miraculous working, but simply a spiritual endowment that God gives to believers? Friends, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this time of teaching this morning, and we pray that you would bless it. And once again, God, give us grace and strength to know the truth and act on the truth and give you glory in this very specific area of casting out devils and the miraculous. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.